In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
Read a short passage from Saint James. My brothers, if anyone among you should stray from the truth and someone bring him back, he should know that whoever brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Word of the Lord. I'd like to spend just a word on that passage, and it's related to the call of the king. So James says that if you, as a follower of Christ, you bring someone back to the faith, you save your soul. You save your soul. And also that will cover a multitude of sins. That also means less time in purgatory. I like that. So if you know anyone that's away from the church, and you're an instrument by which that person comes back, right? And less time in purgatory. That's the last verse of St. James chapter 5. That has always been, at least for me, for a very, very encouraging verse, because I try to convert sinners. I don't know about you. That's my work. You know, I try to bring sinners back to the fold, and I personally, I don't want to go to purgatory. Maybe you do. I don't know. I want to go straight to heaven. And that's going to be part of the topic this evening with five new numbers in the Diary of St. Faustina. But one of the topics, the number we're going to read for me is one of the numbers I've gone through the diary more than once, which I have difficulty in understanding. With my theological mind, I don't understand it fully. I'll read it with you, and maybe you'll give some light to it. I think I understand it. And I'll give you a preview, is that St. Faustina is in convent, and one of the nuns dies, appears to her, and says to pray for me. So she prays for her, and the face of this woman is a face filled with despair. So she prays, and then she has another vision of this nun again, and after praying, the face is in greater despair. Now, what would your interpretation be? Obviously, she's in hell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. How could it be you're in purgatory, someone prays, and then your face is filled with despair even more? I mean, I think 2 and 2 is 4. Obviously, this nun is lost. So she asks, have my prayers helped you at all? Not at all. Thanks a lot, no? Then the next is, how about the prayers of the community? You know, what a humble nun. No? My prayers, having helped, maybe the community, have they helped out? Nah. And St. Faustina said, well, stop bugging me. Well, she basically says that. Stop bugging me. Stop appearing to me. But even though that happened, Faustina keeps praying for her. Then she appears the next time, she's radiating joy. Very mysterious passage. My thought in purgatory would be, she's there in purgatory, I'm praying, offering up sacrifices, so the next time she appears, okay, there's less suffering. Then less suffering. Then less suffering, and then eventually, but when she's praying, it seems as if she's suffering more and more and more. My interpretation would be this, and we're going to read it, is that God allowed her, that nun, to suffer more and more so that her release from purgatory would be quicker and quicker. That'd be my interpretation. You can interpret it however you like. We'll get to it eventually. The other day I was talking to Father Larry, and he was saying, I don't like it when there are funerals and everyone is saying, well, she's in a better place, she's walking among the plants and the flowers and the songs and the sun is shining and the aroma of spring is in the air. And I've never liked that either. Two of the most famous, if I can use the word platitude, Pi's platitude is, she's in a better place. Well, how do you know? How do you know? Oh, she's no longer suffering. Well, there she is in purgatory, for another 500 years. She's no longer suffering. No? Did you ever get burnt? Have you?
Yes.
So I think that this is a modern heresy in which we just presuppose that everyone that dies goes to heaven right away. And we're reading on mercy, but I don't think that we should forget that also God's justice exists too. For example, my father passed away. A lot of prayers. I never in my life did I ever meet a lay person had more prayers offered than for my father. I mean, tons of masses all over the place. Mexico, people praying for my dad, masses and novenas. Do I still pray for him? I still do. When my grandfather died, I offered a Gregorian Mass for him. Back in 92, I think it was. Still pray for him. Is he in heaven now? I hope so. My mom sent me an email, hey, don't forget, May 19th, it's the 15th anniversary of the death of tu abuelita. My mom didn't say it in Spanish, but... So in 2002, my grandmother died. She was 104 years old. No, she lived in 3 centuries. No? Ever know anyone who lived in 3 centuries?
No? Yeah.
You're not going to say yourself, are you? Okay. My mom said, hey, pray for your grandmother. And she died 15 years ago. And my grandmother was a good person. She had a grandson that's a priest. That's me, right? But pray for her. My mom said, pray for your grandma. I mean, maybe she's still in purgatory after 15 years. So you're going to see in the diary of St. Faustina, now and then, the whole idea of a soul coming back and talking to her, soul from purgatory. So we want to try to avoid the modern heresy, in which we are unofficially canonizing people without the permission of the Pope, okay? We can't do that. Only the Pope can canonize. Amen?
Amen.
Would you like it if I were doing your funeral mass? I said, Lupe, Galvan, Mary, Fran, they were saints. They were saints. Therefore, just say one distracted Hail Mary for them, and that's enough. One distracted Hail Mary for them, and move on to bigger fishes, okay? Would you like that, Lupe? How about you, Mary? How about you, Fran? I think none of us like the idea of presupposing that people die, they're up there right away. None of us like that idea. Rather, we should hope and pray that our death is a holy death and that we can go to heaven right away. But the book of Apocalypse says nothing impure can enter in to the kingdom of God. My first name really is Claude Edward Broom. So my patron saint is Saint Claude de la Colombiere. You ever read his life? He's the spiritual director of Saint Margaret Mariella Cook. Holy Jesuit. Brilliant man. Filled with grace, directing St. Margaret Mariella Cook so that they would approve of those apparitions in Paray-le-Monial in the 17th century. When he died, I think it was Margaret Mariella Cook had a vision of him. You know where he went? Went to purgatory. You know why? Because he was too attached to the world. Scaring you a little bit? In other words, he was a Jesuit. He knew what the holy indifference was, but he was too attached to the world in his life. So he only had to spend a very, 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 very short time into heaven. So I'm not saying this to scare you, Grace, or Joe, or Lupe, but you know what it really is? I call it false compassion. It's false compassion. Because compassion, but it's false because it's not true. And these poor souls that die, no one prayed for them because we presuppose, he was a good guy, he's up there. I pray for Danny, he was a daily communicant, he's up there right away. No purgatory, don't even think about that. One distracted Hail Mary, that's enough. Eric will just pray. The glory be three times. You don't pay too much attention to the glory, but you know. You want that, Eric?
No.
Okay. No, when I die, I like a nice Gregorian mass offered. I like to have 30 mass offered. I like about 10 of those. Why not? As many as possible. So let's don't presuppose that everyone dies is up there right away. And even if, say for example, my father's in heaven, okay, I pray a rosary for him. God isn't going to say, "Sorry, Father Broom, he's already in heaven. Let's just throw that in the trash." No, it's going to happen. Maybe apply it to my grandfather. Or maybe apply it to your father. God knows how to apply it, no? We have to try to navigate through these modern heresies. No? There are so many out there today. Time of our founder was basically just Jansenism. That was about the only thing that was out there back in the 17th, 18th century. Today, so many heresies. So many. Amen or oh me, that deserves an oh me, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you have your textbooks, or Mary's going to pass out. You have your textbooks. We've arrived at 56, if you want to follow in your text. By the way, who do we celebrate today? We celebrate St. Patrick's. He was a saint that was sent to Mexico to convert the Mexicans, right? You know, see if you're awake, no? Most of you probably don't know that he was born in Britain. He was born in England. He was not born in Ireland. He was kidnapped and eventually ended up in Ireland. So you have the handout and the embedded picture is very good. It's a very good classical depiction of the Trinity. Well done. See the Father on top. See Jesus, who has just died on the cross, very appropriate for Lent, right? See, in between the Father and the Son, you see the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Okay, do all of you, most of you, have your handout? So you can do it however you want. You know, your textbook or the handout, or you can use both if you like. Okay, so I'm going to read and stop and comment, read, comment, read, comment, and see how far we get. So this one starts off with Saint Faustina offering a prayer. I don't know any book aside from the Bible that leads at least me to prayer more than this. I mean, it just gently but constantly leads you into a dialogue with God. Do you feel that way? Never read anything where it's you start to read it, before you know it, you're just talking to God. You're talking to the Father, you're talking to the Son, you're talking to the Holy Spirit, you're talking to maybe an angel. Oh my God, I understand well that you demand this spiritual childhood of me. So let me give you, as I put in the origin, examples of spiritual childhood. We're in the year of Fatima, Jacinta, and Francisco. I invite you to try to get to know the lives of Jacinta and Francisco Marto. They're among the youngest saints in the Catholic Church. They're beatified, not yet canonized, but they will be eventually. Those two children, they died when they were about the age of your youngest daughter here. They were about 11 years old, 10, 11 years old. That means an 11-year-old girl can become a great saint if you're open to God. Never forget that. An 11-year-old can become a super saint. Dominic Savio was 14. Maria Goretti was 11. These children of Fatima, they were great saints, even though they lived a short life. Another example would be Saint Therese. Okay? Saint Therese of Lisieux, has taught us the way of being a spiritual childhood. And what are the qualities of the spiritual childhood? It would be humility, transparency, and confidence. Pray that you will be humble. Pray that you'll be transparent, not murky. But also pray that you'll have trust in God. Those are the characteristics of this spiritual childhood that we read in the life of Saint Therese, as well as these children of Fatima. So let's read on. Because you are constantly asking it of me through your representatives. Who are those? Who are those? The priests. God speaks through the priests. I'm going to make a pastoral commentary right now. One of my biggest struggles in the past 23 years, and I feel a little bit of frustration in this, is that I have preached many, many, many times to pray the rosary. Right? I mean, I do. And I really should. I think it's my moral obligation as an oblate of the Virgin Mary. You know, I'm consecrated to Mary. We're in the year of Fatima. And I preached it many times that all families should pray the rosary together. Every day. And thousands of people have heard me. Very few have obeyed Father Broom on this. And they all come to me with their problems. And they don't obey me. I represent Christ. And I'm not being proud or egotistic, but it's the truth. Therefore, families should obey what I say. And they don't. And as a consequence, there's a lot of fights in the families. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of lust. There's a lot of greed. There's a lot of depression. My friends, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. If you have Mary in your home, there's going to be life, there's going to be sweetness, and there's got to be a lot of hope. Families today are dead. There's a lot of bitterness. And there's a lot of despair. Because you don't have Mary. What are we working on these consecrations, Elvira? Get these parishes, these families, to love Mary. Through the rosary. It's very difficult, and I'm struggling with that after 30 years as a priest. What on earth can I do to get people to love the rosary more? And I don't have the answer. I'm not going to give up, though. I'm not going to give up. But I think really behind this is the devil. There's no other reason why. Hey, it's 15 minutes. Come on. Hey, you watch a baseball game, 3.5 hours. Soccer game, 2.5 hours. Go to see a movie, 3 hours. You watch a telenovela, 1 hour. Go get a pizza and a beer with friends, you're there 1.5 hours. and we can't pray the rosary. Pray for me because it's a source of frustration in me. You put Mary in that family, that family can be saved. That family can be saved. And I think there are families here that, well, we're in Lent, let's try to pray the rosary now. Or Advent. Or the month of May. Or the month of October. What happens? Okay, we're going to pray right before dinner. And then what happens? The first night, all hell breaks loose right before dinner. Where does that come from? Hello? Obviously, that comes from the devil. See, you're just going to be there for 15 minutes to pray the rosary. Okay, you've got five in the family. Each one can lead a mystery. And after that, time to eat. Hey, I really believe that's the devil. It's the devil convincing the family, giving a million different reasons why not to do it. So I've expressed to you a little bit of my pastoral frustration, okay? Estoy desahogando me a little bit, okay? But I think it's worthy that you hear that. But we preached it Father Greg Staub has preached it, Father John Lyons has preached it, Father Larry has preached it, Father Craig has preached it, Father David, every oblate priest that you've seen, you've heard him preach on the rosary, right? Maybe pray it individually, and you should. But it's not a bad idea to pray the rosary in the family. The eventual secret is this, and I'm working on this too, is that you have to get, you've got to get the man, father, he's got to lead it. Get the dad to lead it, the father lead it, power. Now if there's, you're a widow or you're a single parent, okay, then you have to take the bull by the horns and you got to do it. Let's see, let's pray that in this, we're really in the Fatima year. It's 100 years since the apparitions in Fatima. We should really be upgrading our love for Mary in that respect. You know, she didn't say, "Hi, I'm Our Lady of Fatima." Hello. You know who she revealed herself as? Our Lady of Lourdes says, "Je suis l'Immaculée Conception." Parlez-vous français? Un petit peu. Okay? Un petit peu. Okay. She said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." Whereas Our Lady of Fatima said, "I am the Lady of the Rosary." She appeared six times. Every time she said, "Pray the Rosary." Aha! Uh-huh. It wasn't just Father Broome, it's Our Lady of Fatima. Who wrote that wonderful document on the Rosary? John Paul II, 2002, introducing the luminous mysteries. What did John Paul II say? Pray the Rosary. And he quoted your friend, Patrick Peyton, the family that prays together, stays together. And he said in that document, pray for two reasons. For world peace and for the family. John Paul II, 15 years ago. So there we have it. That's the prayer that a lady loves. Hopefully you'll be apostles of Mary, apostles of her love, apostles of the rosary. There's one inspiration, one proposal we'll all have tonight. And okay, what can we do to get ourselves to love the rosary all the more. Father Don Calloway, who lived with Mike, Father Mike Gately, gave a retreat with me in St. Paul of the Cross about 4 years ago. Incredible conversion story. About a year ago, I got in the mail his latest book, which is on the rosary. It's about 500 pages on the rosary. What he's done is he's explained the history of the rosary, and he's got about 15 saints, most of them are saints, I think not all are canons, who promoted the rosary. And after that he explains how to pray the rosary, divided into three parts. And his idea was to get the people to know what the rosary is about, the history behind it, where it comes from. And these great saints like Padre Pio and St. Dominic and St. Louis de Montfort, John Paul II, St. Maximilian Kolbe, the great lovers of the rosary, to read their lives, how they really loved the rosary and promoted it. So, there we have it. Let's move on. At the beginning of my religious life, what does that mean? When she entered in the convent of the Divine Mercy Sisters, beginning, suffering and adversities frightened and disheartened me. Do you ever suffer? Ever have adversities? Are you frightened by them? Do they dishearten you, or do you rejoice in them? Hello? I think most of us are probably frightened by adversities and sufferings, right? Saint Ignatius says this: any enterprise that you undertake, if it comes from God, there's always a cross involved. So whatever you do for God, there's going to be some cross involved. And I've noticed, you know, I have a lot of apostolic activities, and my friends, there's always a lot of crosses involved. Speak from experience. And it's a good sign, because the devil knows that if that apostolic activity is carried through, a lot of souls are going to be gained for us. So if you have crosses, adversities, sufferings, try to see it through the divine perspective. God is allowing these adversities so that you can be like Him, His passion, but also to collaborate for the salvation of souls. So I prayed continuously. Do you pray continuously? Good. So you people, you're praying always, huh? Yes. Yeah, a holy group of individuals tonight. Good. Pray for me that I'll be able to imitate you, okay? Oh, yeah, pray for my conversion, you holy group of individuals tonight. Because honestly, I want to do that, but I haven't arrived at it yet. I want to arrive at your holiness of life. Okay? Asking Jesus to strengthen me and to grant me the power of His Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt weak? And then you prayed fervently, maybe you prayed the rosary, and afterward there was strength and grace. There's strength that came out of that. I notice it a lot. When you're weak, then you ask God for strength. God never fails. Now, Paul asked to be freed from that thorn. What was it? We don't know. What did God say to him? No, my grace is sufficient. Because in weakness, my strength is all the more manifest. Was Mother Teresa at the end of her life to kind of look like Shaq O'Neal, very strong and had a lot of muscles? So she was physically strong and a weightlifter? No. You look at her, the last 5 years of her life, as well as JP too, very weak. Who knows, maybe those were the years in which they were saving most souls. You see Mother Teresa, but really very weak at the end of her life, as well as JP too. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. And he grant me the power of his Holy Spirit. The power of his Holy Spirit. Were the apostles always strong in their faith? When did they really manifest strength? When the Holy Spirit came down upon them? Pentecost. See a radical change, huh? On Wednesday, went to St. Gregory the Great in Whittier to give a Lenten talk. And I've given homilies on this, 12-minute homily, but I gave an hour and 10-minute talk on this. And it was, I really liked the talk that I gave. I gave it Peter in the Gospel, the falls of Peter, then the resurrection of Peter, then the post-Pentecost Peter, and then the death of Peter. Now, I really believe that the conversion of Peter was, as they say in Spanish, paulatinamente. What that means, paulatinamente? Gradually. Is that the best translation? Little by little. Is he was converted first by looking into the eyes of Jesus. Who came out of the court. He came out of the courtyard and looked at Peter. And he looked in his eyes. And his eyes were saying, I'm hurt, but I still love you. Then he looked into the eyes of Mary. Remember the film Mel Gibson? Yeah. So he looked in the eyes of Jesus, he looked in the eyes of Mary, and he broke down. Then the upper room, John chapter 21. Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, as we heard today. Then John 21. He walked along the shore. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Three times. So they're becoming stronger. But it took, my friends, 9 days and 9 nights of fasting, prayer, silence with the Blessed Mother for Peter to be totally converted. And that's Pentecost. And the same day that the Holy Spirit descended upon him, he gets up and he gives a homily, and there are 3,000 converts in one homily. If I could convert 2 or 3 people in every homily, I'd be pretty happy. Maybe a few more. 3,000 in one homily. Here's a man, he couldn't even say that Jesus was Lord a few days earlier. Where'd that come from? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Maybe you read Mark Twain's masterpiece, Jeanne d'Arc, St. Joan of Arc, Ignatius Press. Have you read it? Joan of Arc is being questioned by the Inquisition because they're eventually going to burn her as a witch, Joan of Arc. So they try to trip her up. And they ask her this: are you in the state of grace? Very tricky question. Now here we see the work of the Holy Spirit. Know what she said? She said, if I am, thanks be to God. If not, may God put me there. Wow. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? If I am, thanks be to God. If I'm not, may God place me there. Obviously, that was the Holy Spirit. She couldn't even read and write. You're not reading Thomas Aquinas in the free time. Holy Spirit. You maybe notice in your life when you may be evangelizing, certain lights, certain thoughts come into your mind that you never planned. Where did that come from? The Holy Spirit. Now a little bit of theology for you. The theological virtues work slowly. The gifts of the Holy Spirit very quickly. And as Thomas Aquinas says, if you don't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in you, you're going to have temptations so strong that you'll fall into mortal sin. You'll fall into mortal sin. Because some temptations can come very impetuously, very quickly. And if you're not on guard with the constant operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I taught confirmation a couple hours ago. I asked the students, who do you talk to most? One little boy, Jesus. Jesus, Mary, the Father. Barely any of them have any knowledge of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be confirmed in a year and a half, I hope. Within a year and a half, they'll know a little bit more. Remember, years ago, teaching confirmation boys, who's the Holy Spirit? Because the bishop is going to ask you, and they're going to ask, who's your teacher? We had 40 boys in front. Who's the Holy Spirit? No one says anything. Who's your teacher? Father Broom. Ooh. One boy raised his hand and I said, who's the Holy Spirit? And they didn't say, who's the Holy Spirit? One boy raised his hand, the bird. He's saying, New York, the Boyd. Like the sister was talking, this little boy was saying, sister, look at the Boyd. Look at the Boyd and tree up there. Look at the sister said, Tommy, that's not a Boyd, that's a bird. It certainly chirps like a Boyd. It's the way the New Yorkers speak. It certainly chirps like a Boyd, huh? So yeah, the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of language. We're able to... How the Holy Spirit, then, it might carry out His holy will in all things. Can I quote a little bit of Dante Alighieri for you? Not in Italian, but English, okay? He says, in God's will is our peace. I like that. In God's will is our peace. Colby, capital W, small W. Small W equal capital W. That's Colby. What does that mean? Colby is saying holiness depends upon we uniting our will with the will of God. And that's the key. Have you ever had your plans interrupted? Have you?
Yes.
Does that disturb you? Some of you, most of you said yes. Why does it disturb you? It ever occurred to you, maybe God allowed that interruption? You ever see that bumper sticker? You want to make God laugh? Just tell him your plans, huh? It's a good bumper sticker, no? Make God laugh? Just tell him your plans. Maybe he has better plans than you have, no? Thy will be done, right? We're saying the Our Father. On earth as it is in heaven. Mary said, be it done to me according to thy will. What does Satan say? Non serviam. No, my will, not your will. Holy will in all things. Because from the beginning, I've been aware of my weakness. Do you know your weakness? If you don't know your weakness, go back over the capital sins, huh? Go back over the capital sins. And I think you're going to find out what your weakness is. Now what's interesting is we're very volatile, we change easily. What your capital sin is now, it might not be in 5 years. Example, you know, a young man, maybe his capital sin is lust. Once he gets maybe 60, it's not so much lust. Maybe it's greed. Avarice. So it's not always going to be the same. That's why the daily examine that we tell you, encourage the daily examine is going to point out where was that weak point. And if you're not sure, okay, spend 5 minutes in silence. Say 3 Hail Marys and say a prayer of the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, show me clearly what my weakness is. Do you have enough courage to do that? Probably, maybe not, I don't know. Self-knowledge demands a lot of humility and a lot of courage. Sometimes we don't want to look in the mirror to see ourselves. Curie of Ars was asked to see himself, and after about a minute, that's enough. The Curie of Ars. Ever read his life by Trochu? And his biggest sin was when he was younger, he was dying of thirst, and he took a grape from the farmer, and he put it in his mouth because he's dying of thirst. But he put a sou or a penny in the wall. The devil said, but the farmer never found the penny. His biggest sin, huh? You know why? You don't become... I don't want to scare you away. We do actions, but sometimes our actions are tainted with our own concupiscence and our own selfishness. They are. You think that everything we do is AMDG? Everything I ever do in my life is always for the honor and glory of God. Oh yeah? Let me tell you something that's going to give you a lot of consolation. Any of you ever read True Devotion to Mary? One of the pages that is easiest to remember, once I start to recount, you're going to say, oh, I remember that one. He said you have a pauper, poor man, that wants to give an apple to the queen. I'm sorry, not to the queen, but to the king. But the king doesn't know him. How on earth is this poor guy going to give an apple to the king? But he knows and has a good relationship with the queen. So what is he going to do? He's going to take the apple, give it to the queen. The queen is going to polish it, put it on a golden platter, place a couple of roses in between the apple, spray the platter, and the queen, with a big smile on her face, is going to give it to the king. You think the king will receive it? As they say in Spanish, no cabe la menor duda. Okay? Of course. Now, why did the king receive the apple? Not because of the poor person, but because of the person that gave the king the apple. So the apple, maybe it had a bruise on it. Maybe it had a spot in it. Maybe it's even a little bit mushy on the side. No? Maybe it wasn't a day-old apple, but a month-old apple. But the king did not so much look at the apple, but at the loving, winning face of the queen. So when we're consecrated to Mary, and most of you are, as part of our work to consecrate people to Mary, is that Mary is able to take our works, which are tainted with concupiscence and imperfection, and she can purify them. Does that give you consolation?
Yes.
I hope it does. It gives me a lot of consolation, because sometimes we do things not for the honor and glory of God, but for our own self-aggrandizement, our own vanity, no? Father Al Hall told the story of there was a Corpus Christi Eucharistic procession, which the priest was carrying the monstrance, and then there was the altar server, and the cart was being pulled by a donkey. And every little square that they arrived at, the people were throwing flowers and they were applauding. And every time that happened, the donkey's ears went up. The donkey thought that they were applauding him, no? I think we all have this donkey within us, no? Not for the Eucharist, but the ears went up, here we go. So maybe we have a little bit of the donkey within us, huh? I know very well what I am of myself. Because of this purpose, Jesus has opened the eyes of my soul. I am an abyss of misery. Wow, here we get a great saint. Maybe in the future, La Doctora della Misericordia, the Doctor of Mercy. It's just a matter of time. She'll be proclaimed. I'll make a prophecy now. The Saint Faustina will become a doctor of the church one year, and she'll be proclaimed as the Doctor of Mercy. Amen? It's not a dogma of faith, but I believe it's just a matter of time. She says, misery. And hence I understand that whatever good there is in my soul consists solely of His holy grace. Saint Therese said that all of the most heinous, hideous crimes and sins that could be committed on planet Earth, she would be possible of doing them, and even worse, without the grace of God. This is Saint Therese, one of the greatest modern saints. And I think that we have to honestly say that we also without God's grace, could commit some pretty ugly sins, even now. And maybe look at your lives in the past. Maybe some of us have, maybe our past lives were not really perfect. Maybe we had something that of the Magdalene within us. So the fact that we're here tonight studying this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful book, be thankful. We could be in a sleazy bar in East LA getting drunk tonight. I mean, it could happen in honor of St. Patrick. There are people doing that tonight, right? All over the country. That's the way they celebrate this great saint, by getting drunk and wearing green, eating corn, corned beef. It's the way we celebrate St. Patrick, huh?
Yep.
Wear a green hat, put a shamrock on. I'm a saint. There you are, wheeling after the bar. I mean, that could be us. It could be us. What did Philip Neri say? There go I, save the grace of God, right? It's him, the drunk in the street. So what she's saying here is we've got to be humble. And try not to feed our vanity. Yeah, I like literature. I wish I had more time to read, but I've always liked the Aesop's Fables. Have you read them? You know, in American tradition, 50 years ago, our parents would read those Aesop's fables to us, at least in my family. I mean, there's one that maybe you never read or heard. It's a story of the crow. Related to this. You know what I mean? There's a crow in a tree, and he's a big piece of cheese in his beak. And there's a fox below. And the fox says to the crow, "In all the forest, you have the most beautiful voice." So the crow is listening to this. "There's no creature, planet Earth, that has a more beautiful voice than you have." And the crow is listening. "There's just one beautiful melody from your beautiful voice. That's all I want to hear." And he's become more and more proud. "Just open up your beak and just sing me a beautiful song." So finally he opens up his mouth. The piece of cheese falls and the fox gets it and he runs away. It's a great story. A lot of the Aesop fables we can weave into homilies because this is human nature. A lot of the Aesop fables talk about these human foibles or these really capital sins. Let's read on. "The abyss of misery, and hence everything is His holy grace. The knowledge of my own misery allows me at the same time to know the immensity of your mercy. The immensity of your mercy. Try to imagine the Pacific Ocean. Are we in the East Coast, the Atlantic? Put the Atlantic Ocean together, the Pacific Ocean, the Indian Ocean, put them all together. Pretty immense, huh? God's mercy goes way beyond that. And imagine taking a match butt and throwing it into the ocean. That's our sin. It's extinguished, blotted out, obliterated by God's infinite mercy. So the greatest saint can become the greatest sinner if he just trusts in God's infinite mercy. Amen? The greatest. It's just a matter of willing it right now. What a great grace it is to be a Catholic, huh? Knowing this doctrine, all that the Catholic Church has to offer us, we are to be humble and eternally grateful for it. Amen?
Yeah.
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 In my own interior life, I am looking with one eye at the abyss of my misery and baseness, and with the other at the abyss of your mercy, O God. So there you have it. You know how to say mercy in Italian, Spanish, French? In Spanish, it's a compound word, which means you work at translating, you have two parts of that word. Miseria y cordia. Miseria is misery. Cordia, what does that mean? Heart. So the loving heart of God embraces our misery. You want to see? The best graphic image is Luke chapter 15. It's the parable of the prodigal son. The son is misery, but the father's arms open to receive this son who's lived a life of misery. So let's pray that we would recognize that we are sinners. Recognize that we're sinners. Recognize that God's mercy goes way beyond our misery. Amen?
Amen.
So a closing note would be this. We're in the Divina of my favorite saint. I don't know about you. We're in the Divina of the great Saint Joseph. Normally we celebrate the feast day. There are two feast days of St. Joseph. May 1st, May Day, the contract to communism, that was the purpose of it. But May Day, May 1st, is the patron of St. Joseph the worker, entering into the month of May, which is the month of Mary, or St. Joseph. But normally we celebrate the feast day of St. Joseph March 19th, but not this year. Because March 19th falls on Sunday, and we cannot bump the third Sunday of Lent for the feast day of St. Joseph. So, this year, sorry we don't celebrate St. Joseph. We celebrate St. Joseph on Monday, which is going to be March 20th. And the church has purposely postponed his feast day for one day. So this is a solemnity, which means Gloria, Creed. This is the highest character of the Mass when we celebrate St. Joseph. Because he was the greatest of all saints. And there might be people here that don't really have too much devotion to St. Joseph. Now's the time to discover it. And I'll give you a very easy way to understand it. Who are the two people that love St. Joseph most in this world?
Jesus.
So for you to really love Mary, you have to love St. Joseph. St. Joseph was the father of Jesus, so for you to love Jesus, you have to have this devotion to St. Joseph. Let's pray to St. Faustina and the great saints, and Teresa of Avila, that we would have a great devotion to St. Joseph. St. Teresa of Avila said in her life that the saints work, but St. Joseph works very quickly. Very quickly. Let's ask St. Joseph to help us really to fall in love with Jesus and Mary. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary. full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. See, one extra Hail Mary. We had 70 general confessions this morning and afternoon, and we have another 70 tomorrow. So let's pray for those who have done their general confession, those who will be doing them tomorrow. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among us, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you, and see you next week then. Bye-bye.